Raiding the Kingdom, we are back. We are 1 week away from the 2024 NFL Draft. My whole mood is dependent on how 25th, 26th, and 27th go. And I'm, as Michael Scott from The Office said, I'm ready to get hurt again. So we're here to go.
Right, the draft's big for any team, right? Even the two-time defending Super Bowl champs. We need to have a good draft. We need to reload, replenish, restock the shelves. And yeah. Jarius Sneed's gone. Could be looking for a cornerback. You know, you got to get depth on the O-line. Got to get another receiver in there. The draft is fun. That's where you find those hidden gems. Your Travis Kelce's in the third round. Your Isaiah Pacheco's in the seventh round. Chris Jones, the second round pick. So, you know, it's not all about day one, but the draft in general is just so fun. And it's exciting every year to kind of zero in on a guy that you really like and just hoping that he ends up being that stud that makes a difference for your team in the long run.
Right. And I think sometimes it's better to kind of set your sights on somebody in kind of the later rounds in the draft than being a sucker like me and the rest of Raider Nation that is so fixated on Jaden Daniels. Although I think we've gotten a little better. We've moved a little closer into this offensive tackle, Michael Penix dilemma. But I think once Justin Fields got traded, I think a lot of Raiders fans had to come a little back down to reality that there was a good shot Jaden McDaniel or Jaden. See, I want McDaniels.
He's still in my mind.
Well, the McCarthy and then the Josh McDaniels, they're both haunting my dreams and my
nightmares. Your dreams, yeah.
Not my dreams. Yeah. Jaden Daniels is my dreams, but it's probably going to be like a more of a fantasy at this point in a non-weird way. So what we're going to do, Coach and I are both going to present basically our ideal draft day scenarios very quickly. And then we're going to get into our official RTK 2024 mock draft. This is what we think is going to happen as close to we can tinker with it. Obviously we know deals are going to go down the day before, the day of, minutes before the pick. It's going to be insane. But we'll do our ideal scenarios for the Raiders, for the Chiefs. Everyone feel free to comment in as you please. And then we'll go into our mock draft and we'll take comments on that. We definitely won't be able to read them all, but we'll do what we can. So I'll go very quickly into my ideal scenario for not the entire draft. We're going to kind of go a day one, day two type thing. Positionally, the Raiders need to walk away with a quarterback in the first two rounds. That's my preference. You could say that it's a reach and Spencer Rattler could be the guy. We could find a diamond in the rough. Whatever it is, I think we kind of need to take a risk, take a chance, and grab somebody in the first two rounds. So obviously, the dream scenario, Jaden Daniels. We have to trade our mortgage our future away for Jaden Daniels, take him at number two, and the Commanders, you know, I don't know. They finagle their way to Drake May or somebody like that. Very likely, not likely. My second scenario is that we take the best right tackle we can find, with the 13th pick overall. Joe Alt likely will be gone by then. I like Talis Fuaga. Fashanu is decent, but I would say Fuaga is I think he fits the Raider mold. He would be a great selection. And then either trade back into the first for Michael Penix Jr., or if we have to take him with 13, whatever has to be done to get us, you know, our quarterback of the future, it has to be done. But I've had some comments, and you've seen them too, Coach, where they say, well, you know, there's not everyone needs a Pat Mahomes. It's like saying, just give up because we can't compete. You're not going to find a Pat Mahomes in this draft or maybe the next 20 drafts. I think he's that much of an anomaly, that special of a player, right. But get something close to compete. Like Justin Herbert is a good quarterback. He can beat, you know, Patrick Mahomes on I won't say any given Sunday, on maybe a particular Sunday. But you need to give yourself a fighting chance. And even though we did get it done, you know, with our boy Farva there that one time, we need to be consistent, and we're not consistent against the Chiefs or even consistently making the playoffs. So that's my ideal situation for the Raiders, making it short and sweet. We need a quarterback and we need a right tackle. If the two can happen on day one, great. As long as we leave the draft with those two positions filled, I'm good. Depending on who the player is, that's when things get a little hinky. Coach, what do you want your Chiefs to do on day one, or at least come away with from the draft?
So we have reality, reality and dream scenario, right? In reality, the Chiefs could use another offensive tackle. The guys you mentioned, I would definitely wouldn't mind seeing in Kansas City. You know, we Donovan Smith was our left tackle last year. He's on a one-year deal. Try and get a good, young, stud left tackle to pair with Mahomes for the future would definitely be a good thing. So I think offensive tackle is maybe not the ultimately the most popular or sexy pick, but like we've talked about multiple times, you know, you got to have a solid left tackle if you're going to succeed in the league. I mean, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is an anomaly. He hasn't necessarily – I mean, he had Donovan Smith and he had Brown. I mean, he's had decent left tackles, but he hasn't had, you know, your all-world left tackles like some of these other guys have had. Dream scenario, and I the more I think about this, the more I salivate, is if Brock Bowers falls. You know, a tight end is so key to the Chiefs offense. You know, we know Kelsey's got one. We know he's got 1 year left. I think at the level that he strives to play at, that might be it. Just reality. You know, he's man beautiful, this and that. He's got so many other things going on.
He has one thing going on, Taylor Swift. Well, two things in his podcast.
Yeah, and then in the Heights podcast, you know, just let us get on that train, $100 million deal. We could quit our day jobs. But, yeah, Brock Bowers would be sick, depending on what the cost is to get up and depending on if he falls in the draft, which I think is a slight possibility. A lot of people think he won't fall past the Jets at 10. But if he creeps down, you know, anywhere from like 13 to 15, 16, I don't think it'd be a bad idea to try and trade up and get him. But I don't think that's what Beach will do. He'd, you know, find a tight end later in the draft that, you know, is under the radar and will be a stud. But yeah, so I'd say Bowers is the dream, but a solid offensive lineman, wide receiver, you know, a Troy Franklin, you know, and we'll, you know, we pick someone different in our mock draft. I went back and forth with him. There's a lot of good receivers in here. Peter Schrager had us getting Polk from Washington, who's kind of like a poor man's Jamar Chase, had a monster season there. So I think there was some – where there's smoke, there's fire. So I wouldn't be totally shocked if Polk ends up being the guy. A lot of people think he was a second-rounder, but, you know, at pick 32, you pretty much have a second-round pick in and of itself. So we'll see. But, yeah, wide receiver, offensive tackles, reality, dream scenario, Brock Bowers. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
Okay. Yeah. So we're both in the offensive tackle market, and then you're looking for a weapon somewhere in the receiving core, basically.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking for the weapon of the future, essentially. And without spoiling anything, I think we could both agree that the receiver we ended up picking for the Chiefs is someone that Al Davis would have traded 3 first round picks to go.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
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 He is an Al Davis pick. 100%.
100%.
So if that didn't give it away, but if anyone out there wants to guess who we're talking about, there you go. So maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. And we did have, I'll play that one. Cause coach, you'll enjoy that. When I was talking about the Raiders earlier, playing XFL team. Yeah. Thanks. All right.
That'll last your box.
Okay. So we're going to go through our picks. We're not going to take all night. We're just super excited. We're a week out. Coach is kind of like my draft referee. If he sees something flag on the play, he's going to let me know that he thinks it might be a little bit out of line, might be a little bit extraordinary. I did dabble with some trades here. We made things a little bit interesting. We'll post the whole mock draft when the day is done. But here we go. Pick number one, it's Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC. I don't think anyone anticipates this being anything else other than that. Agreed.
Nope.
Washington Commanders set at pick 2. They have a new owner. What's his name is gone. The Snyder era.
Dan Snyder. Yeah. Dan Snyder's gone.
It's time to get, I think it was a mistake for them to move on from Sam this quick, but it is what it is. They take Jaden Daniels, my dream quarterback from LSU, and my dreams die. So that's
the top 2. We say die early, dude. You don't gotta
exactly. It was like when CJ Stroud went number 2 last year. You're right next to me there in Kansas City. Just watch this.
You were grown man crying in a room. Well,
you were laughing though. But anyways,
it was tears of joy.
Yeah. Right. And then I thought we were gonna get Jalen Carter, and then what happened there? Anyways, so then with the 3rd pick, the Patriots, even though I think it is a mistake, take Drake May with a 3rd pick overall. And I don't think it's a mistake because I think Drake May sucks. I think it's a mistake because they're in no position to have a quarterback. Do you believe this is going to happen, Coach?
You know, I'm throwing a flag on this. I think
the flag is out.
the flag is out. You know, I think this is a pick where the Patriots, because, you know, the Washington is very tight lip. You know, a lot of stuff's kind of coming out now about Jaden Daniels going there. If for some reason they pick Drake May, I think Vegas does an all-out onslaught to get him from New England, because I think New England can realize and they can see that they have no talent, and throwing a quarterback into that, like I've said this is not new information. I've said this multiple times. I just don't think that them getting a quarterback right now, unless they're fully believing that Drake May is undoubtedly their next Tom Brady, their next GOAT, they cannot not draft this guy. You need to not put a guy like him. Drake May, I think, like I said, is going to be the best quarterback from this class, but you need to give him some ounce of talent on the offensive side. They don't really have
weapons there. No,
there's no weapons. So trading the pick, accumulating more picks to build that team, there's going to be good wide receiver or good quarterbacks coming out next year. You know, your Quinn Ewers, you know, Shedeur Sanders, whatever people might have thoughts on him. Ward down in Miami. There's going to be guys that come out that I think are going to be good. But trade down, accumulate picks, get offensive weapons in there, and set a quarterback up for next year, and just see what you can get. If you don't like the return, draft Drake May. But you know, I could see that being a spot, you know, for a wide receiver if they don't get a trade to Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, what better weapon to start your team with than Marvin Harrison? Because let's be honest here, who was the last great, like, ungodly talented, you know, Patriots wide receiver? It was Randy Moss. And that was almost 20 years ago. Right?
Randy Moss, yeah.
Randy Moss. I know Wes Welker, Edelman, those guys worked well in the system. Wes Welker
was Hall good. Of famers, though.
I get that. Randy They're Moss, not Hall of Famers. Hall of Famers, 100%. So, interesting pick there. But yeah, if we're going by talent wise, Drake May goes to New England. I just, if I'm the Patriots, I don't make that pick.
Hey, and I agree with you. I think that if for some reason, even though it seems destined for Jaden to go to the Commanders, if for some reason he gets bypassed for Drake May, we're going to see a mad scramble for that third pick to go after Jaden Daniels, 100%. So obviously this throws a wrench into that. Pick 4, I have Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals. They haven't had a receiver. I mean, you know, they had a loner on DeAndre Hopkins. Hollywood was whatever. They threw away a first-round pick for that. He's, you know, people compare him to Larry Fitzgerald, which is ironic that's where he's probably going to end up. So I have Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals at 4. Legit weapon for Kyler Murray, who needs to kind of, I wouldn't say resurrect his career, but it's like still on the runway. It needs to get off, you know?
Yeah, and Gannon, their coach, I think John Gannon's their coach.
He is, yeah.
He's I think he's got that team moving in the right direction. Despite picking Ford and the injuries and the stuff they had to deal with last year, I think he's got them on the right ship. So getting, you know, and they're fully behind Kyler. Give him a weapon. Give him a big-time weapon.
100%. And speaking of weapons, then we go to the Chargers at pick 5. Nick Wright, your buddy from KC, said that he thinks the Chargers could theoretically trade a haul of picks to the Raiders to go up to 5. I don't see the Chargers helping the Raiders at any point in time. I have the Chargers taking Malik Nabers. Their wide receiver core is one of the worst in the NFL right now. Malik Nabers from LSU goes to the Chargers. Now, pick 6 is the Giants. I have them making a big trade with the Vikings. Vikings trade up. They give 11 and they give 23 to the Giants, and the Vikings take JJ McCarthy, the Trey Lance of this draft. He's overhyped. They're focusing way too much on, once again, I think, potential than productivity. And I think it's a massive mistake, but they do it. And that is what it is. And here we go live. So I eat my words if he ends up being a stud. But that's what I think is going to happen right now. Do you have a flag on the play?
No, I think, you know, I think it's a matter of where Minnesota trades up to. But yeah, I think they have a feeling he's going to be really good. You're bringing him into a team with TJ Hockenson. You know, obviously he's going to come back from an injury. Justin Jefferson, Addison, they got some good weapons there. So he's going to go into a good situation. And if all it is 11 and 23, I'm sure there's going to be some additional stuff. You know, it's worth a shot. If you, this is the thing, we can all play Monday morning quarterback and have our own opinions on things. Right. You as an NFL GM, a front office, coaching staff, scouting department, all have your thoughts on a dude, and you're go for it. Who am I to tell you not to? I'm just a, you know, dude on a podcast, just like a lot of these analysts. They're just analysts, right? They might have a good track record, but JJ could end up being a stud. So if you find your guy, go for it.
Right. Do you think he's going to be a stud?
JJ, I think it'll take him a couple years. A stud, I don't know. I think he'll be an adequate, decent quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he's going to be in the upper echelon of top five, but I think he'd be a top 15 guy at some point. I think he can.
Yes, and then I think he's like not even going to be a starter in 3 years. And just
really?
I think he's like a Zach Wilson type thing.
Yeah, I mean, he very well
could. Yeah, like a Zach Wilson, Josh Rosen type scenario. Maybe not as steep a fall as Josh Rosen, but not great. Seven, we're going to go Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame to the Titans. Desperately need his assistance there. Number eight, the Falcons are finally going to go defense as opposed to offense like they have in the past years. They're going to take Dallas Turner, edge from Alabama. There is a dispute who's the premier edge in this draft, him or Latu Latu. I'm going to go Dallas Turner in this one from Bama. Number nine, the Giants trade up from 11 with the Bears to get Rome Odunze. They haven't had a number one receiver in New York since Odell Beckham left, and they haven't done a good job. Remember the Kenny Galladay experiment, disaster.
Epic. So did you, this was, forgot who did the, I think it was our boy, Matt Miller. He did the comparisons to wide receivers. Did you see this the other day?
I don't know if I saw it the other day, but I mean, so I tried to tune into all of that stuff.
And I kind of came into it late. I just happened to be flipping the channels and, you know, got home from work and put it on or whatever. And Rome, they have as Jamar Chase. That's his comparison.
That's interesting.
And yeah, right. So if you're the Giants, you definitely need an offensive weapon. You know, when Daniel Jones was having a great season, a lot of that was on Saquon Barkley. You don't have him anymore. So getting a wide receiver, and we don't know about Darren Waller if he's coming back or not. So again, that's a great
trade. He is back. Is his head really in it? You know,
yeah, his head. You know, it's more about rapping and his wife. You know, she makes the big bucks playing for the Aces. So again, I think that'd be a great trade up for the Giants. They still have another first round pick to you know, shore up, you know, something. We'll get to it, but shore up the rest of their issues. But yeah, if you can go get Rome, make the move.
I think they have to. At this point, if you want to give Daniel Jones, or you want to, I mean, that you can get rid of him for whatever reason you want, but if you pair him with a top three receiver and then it doesn't work out, you have a little bit more backing to it now. But otherwise, he's throwing all these little guys and Jalen Hyatt, who's, you know, a nice deep threat, but not a ton besides that. So that's the other trade. The Giants move from 11 back up to 9. The Bears go down two spots.
Let me ask you this question real quick. And this doesn't totally reflect our, and I want to hear it from the people watching. What's the over under on trades you think will happen in the first round of this draft, whether it's on draft day or coming up before? This doesn't include the Vikings trade getting the Texans first round pick. What's the over under on trades that you think will happen?
I have 4 at the minimum in this mock draft.
4 at the minimum. Okay.
So I'm going to say over on 4 or over.
Yes. Okay. What do you think? I'm thinking, really depends on how some pieces fall. You know, if Nick and Penix fall a little bit, people will trade up to get them, especially if they're at the end of the first round. So I'm going to go six.
And I'm not even saying you're wrong, because I think it is going to be 4 at the minimum. I think it very much could be, as you said, the quarter. If someone gets nervous and you see like JJ go 4, people are going to freak out. And a lot of franchises are like, you look at how many quarterback needy teams there are and then how many teams actually addressed it this offseason in free agency. Not many. So they are dependent on the draft. And like you said, how many like true number one quarterbacks are in this draft?
And
more than most, but
this is a crazy, crazy thought. But if you're the Jets, do you not think like maybe do I draft Michael Penix?
I've seen that. Or not Michael Penix, but I've seen them thinking about the Rodgers replacement. But do you go all in on your final? I'm going to address this on this next pick. Or do we go all in on our final year with Rodgers? Or you're right. Do we plan for the future knowing he's basically on a one-year deal?
And he's losing his mind.
Right.
This
topic for another day.
Yeah, we could go all day. So let's move on.
Aaron could have his own thing. All right. So I'm going to say that the Jets, which is a crazy thought, and I really honestly think that could be something to be. And I think the Jets will use that to their advantage as well, sitting at pick 10. I think they take Brock Bowers, the tight end. They're going to appease Aaron Rodgers, who loves throwing to quality tight ends. He always had a gaggle of them in Green Bay, and now he gets the best tight end of the draft. And then this is not a great tight end draft, so he's really like top tier, and then everyone else falls off to the later rounds. So the Jets stay at 10 with Brock Bowers. The Bears are at 11. They have their trade down from the Giants. They go with Jared Verse, edge from Florida State. So once again, the Laiatu is still hanging out there in the balance. I think that could make a few defensive end needy teams possibly hike up a little bit, seeing he's still available. Now, 12 is where you and I had a bit of a disagreement on the quarterback. At 12, I have Oregon Bo Nix going to the Broncos. People have said this is Sean Payton's bread and butter. Sean Payton likes this guy. He's into him. It is what it is. Personally, Bo Nix, when we did our quarterback rankings, he was at the bottom for me, just above J.J. McCarthy, which people didn't like. And so I kind of wouldn't mind if he went there because he doesn't scare me. I don't think he's going to be better than Russell Wilson. And both of our teams had no problem manhandling Russell Wilson for his brief time in Denver. So I have Bo Nix going to the Broncos at 12.
Yeah,
sound like what's the office?
Our boy Nick was busy watching Paw Patrol. Shout out Nick. There's something behind that, but I'll let y'all figure that out.
You're right.
But I think Penix is the guy there for him.
I think he is.
I know if Nick was here, he'd be like, yeah, man, you know, I really do agree with you on that.
Is that what Nick sounds?
Nick, yeah, man. No,
poor guy. No one to rush his defense. Like, I got you, dude.
No, you don't. But I think it'd be Penix in that position. I know Bo Nix might be a Drew Brees guy, but I just at 12, I don't think you can do it. I really don't. But Sean Payton does what Sean Payton wants, so it wouldn't shock me, but I wouldn't make that pick. I'd go Penix.
So I would go Penix as well if, say, I was the GM of the Broncos, but I want him to fall, and I want him to fall in the Raiders' lap, which probably isn't going to happen. But in this mock draft, I do have it happening. So with pick 13, actually, I am going to flip this around just a little bit because I'm going to go with Oregon State offensive tackle Talis Fuaga to the Raiders. I had Fashanu initially. Fuaga is just a grimy dirtbag. Right tackle. He can play left if need be, but he
nothing says Raiders more than grimy dirtbag.
I'm just saying, it's a fit, grimy dirtbag. So I had Fashanu originally, but I like Fuaga anyways better after watching some of his tape. So Talis Fuaga fills a huge gap that the Raiders need. And then that leaves Fashanu, ironically, going to the Saints at 14 with ex-Raider Derek Carr. Before I move on, Coach, do you have anything on the Fuaga pick?
No, I think that's
it's like you said, it's not sexy, but it's needed.
Yeah, I mean, it's dirty, grimy, brighter, but they go, it's adjectives that all work.
If they take Penix at 13, I'm not going to be upset. He's my favorite quarterback for the Raiders besides Jaden Daniels. Not to say I wouldn't be happy with Drake May, but after Jaden Daniels, that's who I like next. For 15, I'm going to go with Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. Also wouldn't be mad if he fell at 13, but I think right tackle is more of a vulnerable position for us. Colts need a little more help in the backfield, so that one works there. 16, back-to-back cornerbacks. Toledo, cornerback. Corner. What'd I say?
Quarter.
Cornerback.
Corner.
That's what I said.
Emphasis on the corner.
I talk fast. Quinion Mitchell to the Seahawks. Defense is on the rise there off in Seattle. I've heard also talks of Michael Penix going out there as the heir apparent to Geno Smith.
Well, they got Sam Howell.
But you still see it out there. I'm just saying. It's been seen. I've seen it. My next pick actually.
Who did I compare Penix to?
Geno Smith. You did, yeah. I compared him to Tua, which has nothing to do with him being a lefty. But I think he's better than Tua. Right. And he has more dog in him. Tua is kind of, I told you, I just think Tua's attitude is a little
too. He's about to get picked.
You're my friend. You're my buddy. Like, no, like, let's be a grimy dirtbag. Or what I say, a grimy slime ball or something. My next pick, actually, I want you to fix for me. Now that I look at it, I don't like it. I had Latu going to the Jags at 17.
What do you not like about that? Because he teams up with Josh Allen?
And I know that Trayvon Walker is more of an inside guy, but he bounces around. I just don't know if they would place that much dependency on there, especially when their wide receiver group is garbage right now. I'm going to stick with it, but I do want to hear your alternate if you had one for me for the Jags at 17. Unless you don't have one. If you think Latu works, then Latu at 17 to the Jags.
But I think the value is there. And you got to get to the quarterback, especially you got to look at the division, right? You got Anthony Richardson, mobile athletic quarterback. You got CJ Stroud, mobile athletic quarterback.
Very much.
And then you have, God, who's the other team in the AFC South?
Falcons.
The Falcons are, no, we have the Titans. You got Will Levis.
Connecticut kid, right?
He's not an overall incredible athlete, but
well, no, that's how he got himself a lot of promise by running. Yeah,
right. So I don't think it's the value's there. Yeah, you can get a decent wide receiver in the second round too.
Falcons are NFC South.
They lost Ridley, so it's the value's there. And like I said, teaming him up with Josh Allen, getting the quarterback, is something that I think would be a benefit because I think you got to, yeah, because I don't value a wide receiver right there more than I would him. So that's why you got to go with Latu.
So you think kind of like a BPA, best player available type situation. He could be a need.
It's not like you're like drafting a quarterback or something that you don't need, but teaming him up with Allen, getting to the quarterback.
Trayvon Walker up the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see them going O-line too. That's so, Latu I think is a good pick.
Okay, so we'll go with Latu at 17 to the Jags. 18, I have Troy Fatanu, offensive tackle from Washington, going to guard Joe Burrow. They just can't keep that guy alive. I feel like it's like, what is that, Groundhog Day? Every year you just watch him like,
yeah, there are two tackles now. They're left and right tackle are like the two biggest tackles in the NFL. They're like 6'8", 360. So if you add another piece there and they still can't protect Joe Cool, then I don't know what to say.
I just think they need to like really take drastic measures to keep that guy on his feet because they just can't do it. And it's the Cincinnati curse, which I don't think you're too upset about.
No.
So next I have the LA Rams at 19, your former St. Louis team. I know this is a sore subject.
Right.
Byron Murphy from Texas, defensive tackle. Aaron Donald is gone.
Crazy.
Enormous shoes to fill, and he's not saying Byron Murphy is Aaron Donald, but they need to jumpstart that.
He's strong and athletic, man. You know, when Donald got picked, he was number 12 out of Pittsburgh, kind of a low under the radar guy, and you know, was ended up being one of the best guys in that draft class. That was
Call him the most famous guy you never heard of.
So, yeah, really.
Aaron Donald. So next that was the Rams at 19. And then I have J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama, in Pittsburgh.
We have a minor eruption right here. We got
1 second.
Brendan's kids stepping in and doing a little what's up. So next we got the Dolphins. Amarius Mims, offensive tackle. Going to Miami. Mims, I think, kind of fits what they need. You know, you got to protect Tua. Mims is a stud. You know, he's a Georgia guy. They produce plenty of NFL guys and some, you know, obviously some offensive linemen too. And I think Mims from what I've read about him, he has the ability to play tackle and guard. So I think they'll be able to utilize that because they just lost their guard, their top Hunt or Hurst to Carolina. So they're going to need to do some repairs there. They lost a lot of talent this offseason,
especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and Armstead is so fragile that you need to have another good piece there. So yeah, I think the Mims to Miami is a good move.
I agree with you on that one. Definitely needed in there, and I could also see them kind of that one of the possible trade scenarios. I could see them going up to get one of these defensive ends, because Jalen Phillips still on the recovery off the ACL. So number 22, Fly Eagles Fly. We're going to go with Clemson cornerback Nate Wiggins. Top corners are already flying off the board at this point. So Eagles shore up their defense a little bit. That really couldn't stop anybody who started off so strong last year. And then we're an absolute disaster for the last six games of the season. So Nate Wiggins from Clemson to the Eagles. Number 23, the New York Giants' second first-round pick. They're going to take Graham Barton, interior offensive line from Duke. All part of the trade there. And we have yet another interruption on my end. So stand by to stand by. Coach, take the Cowboys at 24.
Cowboys at 24 are going to go Kool-Aid McKinstry. They have a good secondary right now. Stephon Gilmore is gone. They need to replace him. And I think Kool-Aid at that pick, you're going to get a lot of value. There's some mocks that had him as a top 15 guy. So if you're getting him in the mid 20s, that's very solid. There's a lot of things. They could go wide receiver. They could go O-line. But the Cowboys do a very good job of developing and making their secondary, their corners and whatnot, incredibly good. Diggs, who was their all pro last year?
Deron Bland.
And then you get Kool-Aid in there. That's a very good secondary. Obviously you got to contain the Eagles, man, Devontae, AJ, possibly the Giants with Roma Dunze. So, obviously Washington's still got Scary Terry. So, the more secondary help you can get, and Diggs was hurt last year too. So you need the Kool-Aid's, I think, a very good pick there.
Yeah. And the Cowboys have been the laughingstock of the offseason, the whole all in. I think it's hilarious. Yeah. Jerry is just in his lawn chair or doing whatever during free agency and everything.
From what Jerry says, he's saving money for, he's not wrong. You got to pay CD and you got to pay Parsons. And then who knows what they're going to end up doing with Dak.
Right. But they still haven't done any of those extensions. So if they let more extensions on the other teams kind of continue, they might have to overpay more than they planned. Next at pick 25, we got the Green Bay Packers, former co-host Austin, his team. They get Cooper DeJean, Iowa cornerback, another cornerback off the line. Their defense was pretty decent last year. This will probably be the first year their fan base isn't going nuts for a wide receiver because they do have young
put him and Jair there. Together. You got some athletes there. I put him and Gene going to the Packers in my mock. I see a lot of mocks of him. You go Iowa to Green Bay. It's just a very just Midwestern. Let me eat some cheese fit. I think he'd be good for Green Bay.
He was teammates with defensive tackle Lucas Van Ness, who they took in the first round last year, who's been a solid contributor on their line. Next, we have the Bucks at 26. Damone Robinson from Penn State, edge. They need a little more firepower there. Shaquille Barrett is gone. JPP is a thing long of the past. I always butcher his name, the hyphenated name, Triuska. What is that? They drafted him in the first round years ago. He hasn't turned out to be much of a contributor for the Bucks. And the defense is supposed to be their pride and joy. So that'll be a little bit more help for Tampa Bay. 27, I have the Cardinals with their second first round pick taking Jackson Powers Johnson, the top center in the draft. Theoretically he could have gone to the Giants, but they went with the Graham Barton option there. So we're going to go JPJ for the Cardinals, help protect little Kyler Murray there, little guy. I know a lot of people are mocking him to the Eagles to replace Jason Kelce. Could also be a thing. You know, you're a Jason Kelce fan, right? Because you're a Kelce fan. Is that how that works?
Yeah. He lost the Super Bowl, right? Did you hear that?
He lost it?
Yeah, I was doing, they're doing some challenge at the, for at like a live New Heights podcast thing, and he like lost it in some chili or something like that.
That's, there's no way that, oh my, that's in, that's
Travis has got three. You can give him one.
Jesus. One of which he won over his brother. Cute. So next 28, the Buffalo Bills. We've been hearing this one. I think that even, Malik Nabers said on like a live feed or something that Brian Thomas Jr. is going to go to the Bills at 28. I've seen him comp to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So not exactly like a route tree master. I don't think you as a Chiefs fan who has this, I mean, you and I have the best rivalry of all time, Raiders and Chiefs, but the Bills and the Chiefs and the Bengals have their own little rivalry. I don't think this scares you all that much. Stephon Diggs is gone. Gabe Davis is gone.
I think Brian Thomas Jr. Is going to be a very good wide receiver. Just him and him alone. You know,
he had the luxury of playing under Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels was a quarterback. I think it's kind of like, will Gabe Davis go and be a one somewhere else? Although he wasn't really a true bona fide two in the first place.
Didn't Gabe Davis go to Jacksonville?
Yeah, they love collecting second, three, four wide receivers. That just makes total sense. So I think that the Bills should make a splash and try to trade up even higher and select one of the top guys, but they're a bit too far down the line, I think, to a really
have a lot of draft capital. I wouldn't be shocked if they do something like that, though.
How many picks do they have? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. I think I think the excess of 10.
Okay. Well, yes, yeah, so they can make moves with that. And I know they've missed out on some big time players in the past. You know, they wanted your boy McDuffie in the worst way, and they missed out on that one. That's a loss. He was that could have been your Super Bowl MVP right there. He was a monster. Okay. So next at 29, Jerzon Newton, the defensive lineman from Illinois, give a little help to the Lions front four there. I think they do need to add a little more firepower on chasing down the quarterback. I think he's one of the top defensive linemen in the draft. I would just put him second to Byron Murphy. excuse me. I think he'll fit the Dan Campbell mold. Just another beast to put on the line to go after the pass rusher. And he's not the best in run defense, just from personally what I saw. Others can have a difference of opinion, but if the true purpose is just creating pressure and disruption, he'd be pretty solid for the Lions there at 29. I don't know if you had another idea for that. I know you don't have a second team, but you like Dan Campbell. So I don't know.
I think that's a good pick for the Lions.
Yeah. But you know, he has a specific type. So I don't know if you think
that. Bite kneecaps, man.
Bite kneecaps. Pick number 30, the Baltimore Ravens. Everyone's calling him AD Mitchell. His first name's not that hard to say, Adonai Mitchell. From Texas, the wide receiver. There's been some debate on where he falls with your boy Troy Franklin and all these other kind of guys that are buffering around the end of the first round. I know they took Zay Flowers last year, but Odell Beckham is likely gone. The Ravens are going to have to continue to add some firepower for Lamar Jackson, who, did you see his weight difference coming back? He reported to offseason activities. Take a look at his frame. He's definitely not as skinny still as like Jaden Daniels, you know, Lamar Jackson light. But Lamar's always been on like the buffer side. I think he didn't lift much after the season ended, after you guys swept him off the face of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So people are like, oh, I like this. He'll be able to run quicker. I'm like, all right, but he's already injury prone. And now he looks like he took off all the muscle. Just take a look. Take a look if you have a minute. Pick 31, the 49ers, Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. Just a little bit more protection for Brock Purdy there, if that's the direction they want to roll in. I think they could use a little bit more beefy upfront help there, that he was under quite some duress from Chris Jones and company in the Super Bowl. So, I don't know what Shanahan wants to dial up for the draft, but I think that would be kind of this, as you say, the safe, unsexy, but necessary foundational piece.
The crazy thing is that, the 49ers traded 3 first round picks for Trey Lance, don't even have him on their team, and they're, just went back to the Super Bowl. It doesn't happen. That's crazy. They're able to,
right.
So yeah. Talent evaluation, they know what they're doing. So,
right. You're not going to hit on all of them.
Granted, they whipped on Trey Lance, but they rarely whiff.
Right. But that does show you, though, you can mortgage your future and still make it back around. But that is superior front office management. And like you said, talent evaluation. Would you like to do the last pick in the draft, number 32?
So number 32, we have Xavier Worthy going Texas, wide receiver Texas, the top guy at the combine in the 40.
The Al Davis pick for the Chiefs.
The Al Davis pick. Yeah. He's just I don't know. I'll stick with it. My boy Troy Franklin, I think he's the better pick. So I could see him going either way. There's going to be so much happening with that draft. I wouldn't really be shocked if we move up, and I wouldn't be shocked if we move down and collect some more picks. But the wide receiver, if the right one's there, they'll get him. Or if they evaluate someone that they need to go get, they'll make it happen. But I wouldn't be butthurt if we drafted Xavier Worthy.
I just feel like it would make sense for you guys to still try to find maybe like a Tyreek Hill replacement. And the easy solution is get the guy that runs a 4.2 40 yard dash.
Yeah.
I think that the 40 is boosting his stock. I mean, as it can happen with anyone who has a good 40 time at the combine or just an overall good combine performance, but I wouldn't be shocked. But I also, like you said, I wouldn't be shocked if, the ghost of Al Davis just resurrected himself and came up and, elected to take him, but that's not happening for us. But he would if he had the chance.
He would, no doubt.
Xavier Worthy would be Al Davis's son, second son after Mark. So those are our first round picks, 1 through 32. We had 4 trades in our mock. Coach is predicting 7 total trades in the draft. It's an incredibly exciting time. I think we're all tired, even though this is our final mock draft. We don't have any more for you until the actual draft kicks off. We're still figuring out our draft night plans. We will not be in Detroit. A lot of life changes, prohibited that from happening with us. But we will do our best to bring you some draft night coverage and content. And just thank you for riding with us. And this draft will likely adjust my mood until, I don't know, I'm going to hold on to this for a solid year, I think, depending on how the draft goes, because I'm still upset about, Tyree Wilson, I like him, but I'm still upset that we didn't trade up for CJ Stroud, which was Josh McDaniel's fault. So I, people are still talking about that one. So Coach, anything for the people before we sign off?
No, man. Get ready, man. I think it's going to be a wild ride of kind of emotions and craziness. These guys, prep their whole life for this moment, and there's only gonna be 12 guys there at the draft.
13. That is 13.
Yeah, it's a little bit less than normal, but that's okay. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to it, man. Draft's so much fun. It'll be interesting to see. It sucks. Again, I gotta wait till the end of the draft to see my team pick.
Are you that upset though? That's your new tradition.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
32. No. Yeah.
The only other thing I have to do is the shout out to our boy Raiders_307 WYO, my boy Julian. And I will just say this, you can put a bleep emoji, bleep your team, keep it PG-13. It's rhymes with duck, but you put an F in front of it. And I'm just looking forward to the season, man. This is once the draft happens, we get the post June 1st cuts, and then we're talking about training camp and all this other fun stuff. So we're not that far off. It's April, baby. Let's go.
All right. We've been waiting a long time for this. Coach is a draft guy, but we're all draft people here over at RTK, but we're excited for this to finally happen. So our futures are going to be decided one week from tomorrow, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And hit us up for all the RTK fun. Peace out.